Good evening, everyone. It is really wonderful that Galena and I are able to be back here with you for what seemed like a very long time to the people in Ukraine. In fact, they just asked us, why do you have to be gone so long? And here it seems to go by so rapidly. So we barely have enough time to accomplish the things that we need to get done before we go back to the mission field. But it is wonderful to get to look into your faces, to become reacquainted, or in many cases, we made some new friends even here at Del Rado since we were here before. And to the entire congregation, I bring you fresh greetings from our brother Ivan Tupchenenko out in Magadan, where it is really, really winter, full-fledged winter. And the picture that he sent on Facebook, by the way, today showed such a powerful storm, and only eight people were able to come out to the worship, but at least eight people were able to be there, and that was really a wonderful thing. And they meet in the center of the city, and it is good that they can come there even during those hard, snowy days. It's almost straight across from Anchorage, Alaska, just to refresh your memories about where Magadan is. And that congregation has been there since 1994, when a group of us helped to launch the Church of Christ in the far east of Russia, in addition to Khabarovsk, and where I was previously, and then made a trip up to Magadan to help begin that work. And Ivan and that little group of eight, they said hello to everybody there that you'll be speaking to today, and they keep up with our every move, practically. They know where David and Glenn are all the time, and they're constantly concerned about us, and they're always praying for us, and they're very dear to us, as they are, of course, to us. As we tell them, we love you more, and they say no, and that's about the only thing we argue about. And the church also in Nikolaev, Ukraine, or in Ukrainian language, it is pronounced Mykolaiv with the M sound. So that is the correct Ukrainian pronunciation, although the largest part of the population in that part of Ukraine, in the Nikolaev region, which is near Odessa, they actually speak Russian language primarily in the eastern part of Ukraine. We're just going to have and you see a couple of familiar faces there. And we were so happy that Liz and Brian were able to be out with us. And that's our sister Olga walking with us. And that's there, the picture that you're seeing now. That is actually in Mykolaiv, Ukraine. One thing that a man is a new student. We have students who study with us to learn the English language. And we teach English language using the Bible, and it is a wonderful way to introduce people to our Lord Jesus Christ. All over the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, people have been studying English for a long time. Many have studied English from kindergarten all the way through their collegiate years. So a lot of people know English. They know it to read literature, and they know it in that fashion, but if you walk up to them and say, hello, how are you today? It would embarrass them, and they would be afraid to give an answer because they've never, in many cases, had a conversation with a person who speaks English as their native language. So when we advertise our courses, study English with a native speaker. We don't get so many very young people who have never studied English. We get a lot of people who already know English in a literary way, in a scholarly way, in many cases. Most of them, in fact, all of them that are our students, have already graduated from a university there. And so this is a very wonderful thing. And some have even become English teachers. Some have gone on and are now teaching English language in high schools or elementary schools. But even in their case, they want to come and study with us. We start with the story of the prodigal son. One of the most beautiful stories in the Bible, of course, but moreover in all literature. Isn't a wonderful story? And we have these people to sit with us, right across the table from us, and read that story, read it out loud in English language to be sure that they comprehend it. And then we ask them some questions at the end of it to test their comprehension. And it is amazing how it touches their heart. And some people, we've noticed, even become teary-eyed, and they said, I didn't know that story. It's so beautiful. And they learn about, when you ask them, well, what does it mean to you? Well, I see that God loves us. And when we ask deeper questions about the attitude and the behavior of the younger son, some have said that they didn't even know about the word, the English word, repentance. And one particular person, the first one that said this, was a five-year graduate in the university in English language, already teaching English, which said, I'd never heard that English word. Can you imagine that? And we just flip it off, you know, preachers, we just talk about it all the time. And those of you who work with others and leading them to Christ on a one-on-one basis, you talk about the concept of repentance, but here are people who have studied English and nobody sat down to talk to them about repentance and what does it mean. It is very important then that people like this who have a thirst for the English language and they also want to know the Bible. Our advertisement, and I have some with me and I'll share some with you later. Our advertisement says, learn English using the Bible. And so when they call us to ask about the course, we'll ask them, did you notice that we use the Bible? Because we want to be sure that they understand that when they come in, yes, we're using English as bait, as a lure. That's true. And we tell them that when they ask us, well, how can you do this for free? Because there are a lot of small businesses where people teach English. There's some British guys over there that set up little English schools, and they do it to make money. Because Nikolaeva is a city of 500,000 people, and their steamship lines are there, and a lot of people want to work on these nice cruise liners like the Royal Caribbean lines, and they can get a good job and make more money doing that than they ever could there in the local economy. So English is very important to them. But we tell them that we're just honest with them, that we use this to attract you to come to us. We don't try to deceive them, but you're going to learn the Bible, which is the greatest book in the world. No better book than the Bible. And as they begin to learn the book, beginning at Genesis chapter 1, that is where we begin. In fact, this is the door into our university, and that is another one of our activities that we have. This is the entrance there to a university where we go once a week, and the dean just gives an open door. You can teach whatever you want to teach. And this is a public university. It's not Faulkner University. This is a place where the doctrine is atheism, where every single student, a few years ago when it was run by the Soviet Union, every person studied Marx and Lenin. They had to. It didn't matter if you were studying to be an English teacher or you were studying to be a lawyer or a doctor or an engineer, you mastered Marx and Lenin. You had to know that. And in fact, if you did not do well on your Marxism and Leninism courses, even though you made all fives on all your other subjects, you would still fail if you didn't do good on your Marx and Leninism. That's how strong communism is. This new student, and I almost got off what I wanted to tell you. This new student, just yesterday, pleaded with me, please be careful, David. Don't you know that these statues of Lenin are still everywhere? Don't you understand that the communists are everywhere and there's still bosses everywhere who are communist in their heart? Be careful. And he knew some of the trouble that we have had, but he was just given a little friendly warning to be careful in our activity. Well, we can't be careful. You cannot be careful when you are sharing the gospel because you want to just meet as many possible people as you can. You want to reach out to as many as you can and to influence them. It's Luda and Stepan. They were our first two that actually became the two faithful ones that are in the congregation. Very wonderful people. But he was very sincere in that warning. And what our mission is, and I love the songs that we sing, and I appreciate the prayers so much tonight. Our mission can be summed up with the work of the Apostle Paul and all the apostles and all the evangelists, and that is to help reconcile the world to God. The world is away from God. The world has turned away from God. And in fact, the communist regime helped that cause. It helped to turn hundreds of millions of people away from, officially away from God. Think about that. Now, you say, well, maybe our country is going in that direction of so much secularism, and I don't want to get into that political debate, but I can assure you of this, it's a failure, and it's a bad thing to go against God. It is a very gross mistake on the part of those world leaders who choose to do that, as did Lenin and Marx and the others who were the early organizers, and especially people like Stalin and those like Khrushchev and those who were so strong to push the communist doctrine at any cost. And if it meant rolling the tanks into another country, so be it. And just overpowering people with their doctrine, because in their view, the whole world had to be communist or it would not work. And that meant atheism. Atheism is the official doctrine of the Communist Party. And they are totally against God's word. So when someone warns you to be careful, that's what our new friend meant, that he knows how it is. That precious brother right there is our Nikolai Tahor, who has gone to be with the Lord. And what a wonderful story it is. He spent all of his adult life as a communist, raised as a child in a family, and he was taught that education is his ticket out of a poor situation. So he pursued higher education all the way to become a PhD, equivalent of a PhD here in America, in education. And he worked his way all the way to the top in Kyiv, in the country of Ukraine, as then part of the Soviet Union. And Nikolai was a great influence there for education in the country. And he's the one that worked to found the boys' home, what we have called the boys' home, where we go and do a lot of work there. And he has made it possible for us to go and be there. Well, after his baptism into Christ, after many studies and wonderful time we spent with Nikolai, getting to know him, and how he just, at his baptism, he just had such a look of happiness on his face, and so sincere. Every second that we were with him, the rest of his life, when we got to spend with him, he was teaching, preaching, teaching other people how wonderful this idea of being reconciled to God, how much it meant to him to be saved. And there are so many people who are like him, just like him, who have gone all their life and not had the opportunity to become a Christian. And he was introduced to Christ in the most unusual way. Nikolai was introduced to Christ by two elderly women. Speak for yourself, David. Just throw that term elderly around. Anyway, but Bob was talking today about he had been song leader here for 41 years. I thought, well, wow, I've been knowing him. It means I've been associated with him longer than that. So it is, time does fly. But whenever you think about people who are getting on up in their years, it is also very important that they have something to do in the kingdom. These two women had gone on a vacation from Donetsk, Ukraine, which is all the way in the east. They had gone on a vacation there, and they met him there. He was on a little short vacation at a sanatorium. If you want to know what that is, later ask Galina or John Kackelman or some others who have been to Ukraine or Russia, or Bob. Some of you who understand what that was in the Soviet Union and how it was used for people, a benefit to certain people. So, but they're already almost aging and falling down, but they're still being used in some cases. And he had gone there also for a little rest. On Sunday, these two women said, "We're going to go into the city, into Kiev." And so, "What are you going to do? We're going to church. Want to go with us? Come go with us." He didn't know what it was, what to do. Well, okay, something to do. So they got into a bus and rode to the Obolon Church of Christ, and he heard a wonderful sermon, and he met so many wonderful people, and he just would talk about, "I never heard anything like this, what I heard there from those young men." And there are two young businessmen there who are the preachers there in this congregation. He would just fell in love with them and the people that he met in the church there. And so then vacation ended, and they go back to Donetsk, and he comes back home to Nikolai. And one of the women says, "Well, I've been doing a little researching, and there's a new Church of Christ that's just been started there in Nikolai. Why don't you go over there?" So he calls. And so we begin to talk with Nikolai, and well, he just became our dearest brother, and he has gone to be with the Lord. And the church really misses him, but that's what we're there to do. And none of us know how much time we have after we become a Christian. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16, the apostle writes, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's Pasha. Remember Pasha's face. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." That's what has been given to us. It's been passed down to us, this ministry of reconciliation, to help reconcile people back to God. Like trying to help reconcile all who have fallen since Adam and Eve. Every one of us, we've fallen, and we need to be brought back to God. And that's the beauty of the gospel, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. It is Sasha. Remember Sasha. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Such a powerful concept. And there are many people who grew up under this communism that when you begin to talk about sin, that's something foreign to them also. What are you talking about? So it's necessary to start people out in the beginning. So after we do the story of the prodigal son, we go right into Genesis chapter 1. And we just take them right up through the very beginning. We teach them about the fall. And we go right into the prophecy with Abraham about the one who will come. These are pictures right now that are about our work with the boys' home. Our work in Nikolaev has now taken about five directions, and there's still just two of us. And we were so thrilled when Liz and Brian were with us, and it was only for 6 days. But they spent 6 days with us, helping us cover some of those bases that is very difficult for us to get to each week. And our work involves, of course, the local church that we went there to help establish a local church there in Nikolaev, the number one mission. Secondly, our work centers around our efforts to reach these young boys at what we call the boys' home. And we're invited to come each week and spend as long as we want to stay there with these boys. We play with them, we do different things with them, and we just get to know them. And about half of them are true orphans. They have no family, and they are just abandoned, and they're picked up off of the streets and sent to this place. The other half have bad families. Their families just don't look after their kids. They have babies and don't care about them, and so they're living on the streets, and they're picked up by police and brought to this place and given shelter and food, and they live in very poor circumstances, but they live and they're cared for. They now, thanks to you, our efforts together, they now have a Bible that they're allowed to take it to their room. They're not allowed to have anything else in their room at night, but they can take their Bible with them. And so they all take these with them. These are boys that know how to cuss in two languages, at least, very well. And they can fight, steal, lie, cheat with the best of them. I mean, they're street kids, and they've been picked off of the streets. And it's a hard situation, and some people ask, why do you go? Once when Galena had to be out of town, and she is, of course, a major part of our work there. And in fact, if any of you ladies would like to have Galena in one of your classes, she's a good speaker at ladies' classes, you can invite her and ask her questions, and she can answer a lot of questions that I'm not going to have time to cover. I just volunteered you. And do something. But anyway, so we are, and I really appreciate all that she does do for the work there. She's like a mother to these boys, and they never know anybody to come up and give them a hug and to talk nice to them. They'd never known it. The director asked this Pasha, I told you to remember Pasha, asked Pasha once, well, don't you know anything about family love? He was trying to lecture him about his behavior. He said, what are you talking about, man, family love? His mother is in prison for two murders. So he said, I don't know anything about what you're talking about. And he had just basically was a street kid. And he was picked up and brought there. First time we met Pasha, he would not even look in our eyes, would not raise his head to look at us. We began to get to know him a little better after a few times. And I heard one time that he was good at tennis. And I thought, they're going to ask me to play tennis, and I don't think I know how to do that very well. But then I learned it's table tennis is what they were talking about. So ping pong, hey, I can do that. So we got to have some opportunities to get to know him that way, have some fun with him, and he opened up to us, and we became his friend. And each time we go, we give them memory verses. They memorize scripture. And he wouldn't participate in this activity. He would hardly even read any verses aloud. But then he began to surprise us, and he would take the Bible, and he started to read. And as you know, kids in his situation haven't been taught to read so well. So part of our work was also helping them learn to read using the Bible. So we began to help them improve their reading skills and comprehension. And so as one day I gave a long list of Bible verses and told the boys, you choose which verse you would like to memorize before we come again. So the next week we came, and they all gave their verses. And then Pasha stood up the last, and he quoted all the verses from memory, and with the biggest smile on his face and such a feeling of accomplishment. And he got a hug, and he got a candy bar also. And thank you so much for sending the little Hot Wheels cars. We take little gifts to these boys, and thank you so much. That sounds like such a small thing, but it's like it could be a new Corvette as far as they're concerned. They never get toys of any kind. No gifts, just nothing. This place where they live is very sparse and it's poor. But God has opened this door. It's an incredible door of opportunity. We have the door of opportunity with those English students, and it grows and grows. We now have 31 students, not counting those who study with us online. And we have these boys that we go. We also are invited to this university, and we can speak to as many as 150 if we want to. But we've asked to have only 20 or 25 at a time in this group, which is much better, because when we have a smaller group, we're actually able to have conversation back and forth. And so we're really enjoying that very much, and these are unique opportunities that always lead to one-on-one Bible studies. In every one of these places, we're studying the Bible with them. It was so wonderful when Liz and Brian came, and we just encouraged them to be involved with us, doing everything that we do, all of our activities, they would be involved with us. And you talk about 6 days going by so fast, well, zip, just gone so fast. And we really appreciated that, but you know, to get to Nikolaev, it's a long travel to get there. They had to travel a great distance. And once they got to Kiev, they had to ride a train ride. But they did all that, and they made it there. And we really appreciated that they came. And we're already hoping that some couple will have their honeymoon with us in Nikolaev. We're hoping this we can work this out. We're hoping that Will can come and be with us, and he's already talked with us about it, and that he could come and spend some time with us. I never want to be before an audience in America without inviting somebody to get involved in the mission work. I was actually invited to be involved in mission work here at Delray, the Church of Christ, by an elder who's very dear to our hearts and who's gone to be with the Lord, but I can still hear him and sort of sense his presence, Brother Jeff Powell, and he invited me to be involved in a mission work in the Caribbean island of St. Vincent. And that was the first association with mission work here with Del Rey. And we all, many of us remember Brother Jeff, certainly, and his great influence. And then later, Bob McKee invited me to come and be with him in a great work in the church in Inta. And we have not had an opportunity to go back to Inta because of the huge distance and because of the great amount of activity that we have going on where we are presently. I stay in touch by email with Brother Ruslan and his wife Natasha, and it is a difficult situation there with the church. They have not thrown in the towel, so they still meet there in the same apartment, just a very small group of them. It's a hard situation, but they're there, and they're doing what they can do. And our work out in the far east of Russia and Magadan, we have good brothers there who have been taught the word, and they're teaching others now, and they're struggling to become self-sufficient, I guess you would say, is the right way to phrase that. Right now, we're helping them pay the rent, but they want to say to us, don't send it anymore. We want to find a way to pay it ourselves, and they're trying hard to get to that point that they can pay the rent. And in fact, even today, we had such a correspondence from them. But we still plan a trip out there for maybe at least 2 weeks in this coming year. To just briefly tell you about our plans, because they're your plans, and I can't just look at each one of you in the eyes right now, but I like to look at each of you, and it means so much to us, because we get sometimes you'll write us one line, and it means so much. You'll send an email, or you put something on Facebook, or whatever. It's a great encouragement, and we share that with the brothers and sisters, and they know that they're loved, and they know that you care, and that you're a part of the work we're doing to spread the gospel, to ignite the Lord's work in that part of the former Soviet Union, which this man, who is a seeker, reminded me, David, don't you know, like I didn't know, don't you know that there are big, huge Lenin statues towering over all the cities there still? And he was just warning me. Well, yes, we know. We know it looms heavily. And there are many powerful people who still have communism in their hearts. And to this day, it's a pleasure to look up and see a captain of the police force, a Christian. But I baptized a man in the police force in Maidan. And I said, okay, now I'll see you on Sunday. This was like on Saturday. And I'll see you in worship on Sunday. I can't come. I said, what do you mean? I'm with militia. I'm with Russian police. I just want to be a Christian. But I can't come to church. I can't tell people. They'll fire me. I'll lose my job. So it's still atheism is the official line. If you are a part of a government job, particularly police or army, they don't have chaplains. If they are, they're Russian Orthodox. I think I did hear where they may allow a Russian Orthodox priest to address some of their soldiers now. But that is a new development that they're trying to be looking more like EU countries. But it's still a very difficult place to work. But God has opened the door. And as long as the door is open, we go. And so we continue to go. And with your help, and I want to encourage you, if you can come for 2 weeks, would be wonderful. You need to allow 3 weeks to make it 2 weeks, because there's an extensive amount of travel involved to get there and to get back. So think and pray about that. We would love to have you to be a part of our mission activities there. Thank you for your attention tonight and for the part that you have in our work, and it's a big part, it's a huge part. We couldn't be there if you were not with us and encouraging us. And if you want to receive our reports, just be sure and let me know, and I will put you on our email list. I send out regular email updates. If you'd like to receive those, please let me know, and I'll put you on our email distribution list. Or I also use what Doug was talking about, this Facebook thing, and still trying to be sure I get it working right. But sometimes I do, sometimes don't. But there's other ways that we try to communicate with you and get news to you here. As I mentioned, there may be in any audience a person who would like to get involved with the Lord's work in Russia or Ukraine, maybe full-time. Maybe some of you young people might be considering that right now. What are you going to do with your life? Well, start studying Russian. Russian works in Ukraine and in Russia. There's a preacher over in Atlanta whose son is, and his wife, they're about to have a baby over there in Yekaterinburg, Russia. His name is Aaron, and her name is Aaron. And they're studying Russian for 4 years. They already graduated from university here in America, but they've gone to study Russian for 4 years. He's a preacher's kid, and from the North Atlanta Church of Christ. His papa is Don McLaughlin, and they're studying over there, and they'll be there for 4 years, along with two other couples. Isn't that amazing? All Christians, and they can meet people. There's no active work going on in this great big city. It's an important city of Russia. So think about how you could have a part in taking the gospel to Russia and Ukraine. Ukraine is more open than Russia. We can run ads in Ukraine. We can put our advertisements around on posts and hand advertisements to people. You can't do that in Russia. They stop you. Moreover, there may be someone who is needing to be reconciled. And maybe you've just been putting that off and putting it off. And maybe tonight is the night that you need to make things right with the Lord by confessing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, by repenting of your sins and being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you'll have hope that heaven will be your home and we'll all be together. Just like we have a picture in our mind of some of these people that used to be here, but they're gone, but we still have this picture of them. But we'll recognize each other. We'll know each other. So if we don't get to meet again now, if you just get right with the Lord and become a Christian and be faithful to Him all the days of your life, we'll be together in eternity. Will you come as we stand and sing?